Yo no te quiero, no.
Support comes from CAP UCLA, presenting Third Coast Percussion and Solar Nader on December 6th at 8 p.m. at the Nimoy. Third Coast Percussion pays tribute to the late Zakir Hussain with Murmurs in Time, his final commissioned work. The program also includes solo tabla and new works by Jesse Montgomery, Tigran Hamasyan, and Jay Lynn, honoring Hussain's enduring legacy at CAP UCLA. More information and tickets available at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett.
Everybody's talking about consciousness. Everybody wants that eternal kiss. Yeah, everyone's saying there's more than this. Everyone wants to follow their own bliss. Talking about one love, one blood, one life in everyone. One life, give each other.
On the Expansion Zone, we examine life and our quest to understand who and what we are and of the vastness of human potentials. We explore the making of our world from quantum physics to parapsychology, health, sociology, and philosophy, along with practical living. You are reminded of the possibilities in creating personal change. So for an hour, we'll stimulate and expand the mind. Well, welcome once again to another edition of The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. I am, of course, your host, Sonia Barrett. And, well, wishing you the best Monday possible. As you know, every day is unique and different. But Monday is always that day that, you know, we recognize as sort of starting the week. So I definitely am wishing that you have the best day possible to get that entire week rolling. And of course, thank you for allowing me into your cars, your offices, and your homes every Monday at 1 p.m. right here on 90.7 FM and also streaming live at kpfk.org for those of you listening in on your devices. So, all right. Well, today's quote, I pick quotes sometimes that kind of connects with the conversation in the show today. But I really love this quote. And it says, living means taking chances. Risks, playing it safe all the time is being dead inside, even if you happen to still be breathing. This is by Ellen Hopkins. So again, it's living means taking chances, risks. Playing it safe all the time is being dead inside, even if you happen to still be breathing. So as always, I'm going to elaborate on that just for a moment. But first, the topic today is how to embark on your business ideas and become the leader of a business niche using powerful spiritual techniques and, of course, so much more. And our guest today is Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith, author of Born to Do It, Becoming the Leader of a Business Niche Using Powerful Spiritual Techniques. So before we talk with my wonderful guest today, I want to also thank you for your fund drive contributions. And I also want to encourage you, our wonderful listeners of the Expansion Zone, to continue to donate to KPFK or become a subscriber Which you may do so by calling 818-985-5735, because your donations will actually help with changing the fund drive practice. So call in and support the show and the station, 818-985-5735. And thanks for your continued support. So regarding the quote, living means taking chances, risks, playing it safe all the time is being dead inside, even if you happen to still be breathing. Well, particularly now, I would say in our new world, taking risks is now, I think for a lot of people, a feared experience. And that is something that we do need to look at. Yes, everything that we do does set the stage for everything else that we will do in moving forward. So it's not just fear of, you know, what's going on, or fear of running from getting sick, or any of that. It still all translates into, I think, just our entire life, you know, because we end up building up a belief and a behavior and a pattern. And the idea of risk right now, that word sort of involves risking your health and risking your life, and just a tremendous amount of fear. So that's why I'm bringing that up. It's actually, let's see, fear or an overdose of caution. So that's what I'm seeing, fear or an overdose of caution. Stress actually weakens the immune system. And this is said by the American Psychological Association. We know this, but somehow people feel better when they hear that it's coming from, you know, somebody else that's a highly recognized or acknowledged individual or organization. And so I think we need to really pay attention to that, because there's an overdose of caution can often also read as fear in your body. So that's all I'm going to say right now, because, you know, I start talking about that because I really am hoping that people can sort of come down from some of that, because it's damaging. It's actually damaging to your body. You're damaging yourself by being in such intense states of fear. All right. So enough from Sonia. My guest, well, becoming the leader of a business niche using powerful spiritual techniques. You know, she is the author. The original book title, the beginning is Born to Do It. And it's Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith. Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith, author again of the book I just mentioned. She found her niche and drove her business to increasing heights through mastering spiritual and business practices. One of the factors which has led to her success in the blending of both practical business skills and spiritual techniques that infuse her life into her company's growth. She decided to record her hard-won knowledge in her new book, as I mentioned, Born to Do It. And she now shares that kind of information with so many others, and also I think does consultation coaching, assisting in so many different ways, as we will find out. It's a very important factor at this time, because many people are looking at getting into business for themselves, or just anything at all that it's an idea or a dream or a passion. It all of this applies to that. So, all right. So without further ado, I am going to welcome Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith. Welcome to the Expansion Zone.
Thank you so much for that wonderful intro. And I love that quote. That's a brilliant quote. I haven't heard that until today, but I was like, wow, that's so true.
It is very, very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If we're not taking risks, you know, being creative, taking a chance. It's like, are you really living? Because, you know, brain plasticity, we need that. So,
yeah.
So, about, you know, you and your wonderful book, where can we begin? You've created this wonderful roadmap based on your experiences. And I was saying to Rebecca right before we started the interview, you know, how funny it is, because there are things in the book that I can relate to for me in starting my own film and not knowing what I was doing and those stressed out moments. But anyway, all right, Rebecca, where would you like to start in sharing with us your journey in terms of how this book really came about?
And a good place to start is when I tune into my soul purpose without actually consciously knowing that's what I'd done. So I thought what I should be doing is what people advised me to do, which was to work in the film industry. Sorry, which was to work in academia. They said, you know, you like your writing and you like, you know, films, and you know, you like probably a teaching. It's like people just thought that's what I should do without me asking myself if that is what I should be doing. So I did what they advised and thought, people advise me to do this, so I think I'll do it. So I just ended up doing something I didn't want to do. And it was actually when I was asked to co-produce a horror film festival that was in Wales, which is where I was studying for my PhD. I thought that'd be a good thing to get out of the house, because obviously writing a PhD is a very solitary process and you haven't got a lot of people around you. It's very, you know, one-to-one, solitary. It's not particularly very sociable. And I'm a very sociable person. And I said, yeah, that'd be great to help out. I love films and all that, so I'm sure it'd be fun. And that hobby and that distraction from the PhD, when I started to do it, I thought, hang on, I'm finding a shift in myself. I think I'm changing. I'm becoming more alive. I'm actually myself and I'm doing something that I actually love. But I thought, hang on, maybe it's just because it's a hobby. It can't be something I can do for a career, can it? And then
It's too enjoyable.
You're right. I was just like, you know, this obviously is like, you know, it's a hobby, but things started to change. And then when I asked filmmakers what they liked about festivals, they all loved them, but they all said that we don't know who to turn to get our films into festivals, because we don't know how to strategize. We don't know who to ask. There's nobody around we can see. We're just, you know, home for the best and chucking it in left, right and center to a festival without no idea. So I thought, oh, there's a business here and I can do that, because I know what festivals want through traveling the circuit and knowing what people tend to program at festivals. I think I can do this. I think I've got this gift in me to help them. 10 years later, we have one Oscar nomination down the line and loads of awards. Then it was true. And it was tapping into my soul purpose, like totally unconsciously. But that was a starting point to how the book came about as well, because then I wanted to share this with people, to tell them that it's very important. They mustn't do a job they don't like, because they can actually lose creativity. And they weren't put on this earth to do that job. So they need to do what they should be doing. And it's important to tune into that and do your own business, because you can't rely on other people nowadays with the pandemic. You've got to fend for yourself.
Yeah, but I think one of the things here that you said, that is so true. When you said people were telling you or advising you what they think you should do. And that, I think, is so common. That happens especially in younger people in college, or even before they enter college. Parents and sometimes other people meaning well, the person doesn't really know what they want to do yet. But in our society, it's like you feel responsible, or like you have some sort of a commitment to meet in knowing what you want to do, even if you don't. And so somebody suggests something, mm-hmm. and you're sort of off and running. It's like, oh, okay. If that's what you think, then maybe you're right. Maybe yeah. I should go ahead and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no. And it's weird when people think what you should do when really only you that knows that. I mean, I had a lot of people say that my business wouldn't work, that I shouldn't be moving to London to start this up. I should stay around, you know, and get a safe 9-to-5 job that will never end. And I was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And I had people like just not give me confidence at all, because they were like, well, you know, no one does what you're doing, so it's a big risk you're going to take. I mean, have you got backups? Well, there's always a backup, you know, always got a backup somewhere. But then I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm not going to have to do a backup job. And I haven't done that ever since, because I've been doing what I should be doing.
That is, you know, and when you were saying that, I was laughing to myself, because I'm thinking, well, sometimes the backup is just failing. The backup is just falling flat on your back.
Exactly. It's like this ain't working. And you know, when you're in your heart, like you just, I remember when I moved to London, I had, obviously with my business, it wasn't obviously fully fledged like it is now, but I was having to do temporary jobs. I did it part time. And then I did think, should I have to get a full time job and then just do the business on in the weekends? But I didn't have to do it in the end. I remember going to interviews that were for like full-time PA work. I'm a PA, the background's a PA. And I like PA work, but obviously there's only so far you can go with being a PA. So I was like, you know, well, I'm kind of done enough of it now, I think. So I don't really want to go back to it. But then I thought, well, if I had to, I would. So I went to these interviews and my heart was not in it. I remember having the interview and I was just not interested and it was obvious. And they were, these were like, you know, the BBC, you know, which is a big company in UK.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so they wanted to see me because they see the qualifications and I was like trying to get interested, but it wasn't working. I had second interviews, but I was just like, oh no, and it's getting worse. But I was like, no, I don't think I should have it. And then I put it out there to myself that I didn't want it. And then it kept, had me, gave me more time doing part-time work on my actual business. So it was really nice having like 3 days a week just doing a temporary job and then working on the business 24/7 around that. And also in the days I had off on the weekends. And I loved it. And it was an interesting experience because when I was doing the temping job, you know, it wasn't particularly very interesting. But then, you know, when you have a quiet moment, I could look at my inbox for my business. I'd be like, oh, there's opportunity here, and I'd be excited. But my heart obviously wasn't in a temping job, but it wasn't supposed to be. And right. So you just know. I mean, it really is now when you listen to that voice, you know, I'm not going to ignore this because I don't want to be doing it.
You accept the truth of how you're feeling. Yeah. I think it's really what it comes down to. And I think that's a question people have to ask themselves is, can you accept the truth of how you're really feeling? Because sometimes there's guilt. People feel guilty, you know, feeling that way. Oh, because everybody says, well, you have such a great job and, you know, why would you want to give it up? It's all of that insanity.
Exactly. And the whole thing about comfortable jobs don't exist anymore. I think since the pandemic began, you know, loads of people have had to change jobs, redundancies, you know, now they're doing what they want to do. I think it's a good time with the book because when this whole book came together, it was during the pandemic. Well, I mean, I'm in the pandemic now, but I mean, during the lockdown, I was living in the UK at the time. And my schedule normally is literally every day I'm doing something, an event, a festival. Obviously, London's got all the stuff going on. There's always something happening in a festival and traveling on a plane or whatever. So that was quite a shock to the system at first. I was like, well, I'm indoors a lot, but I'm enjoying it because I'm busy with my business. Then I had time in the evenings and I thought, well, I'm enjoying watching, you know, like catching up on some films and stuff and watching film festivals online. But then when I did this long interview for an Indian magazine, a publishing company read the interview and she was like, oh, have you ever thought about writing your own story? And I said, no, never. And she said, well, there's a really interesting story in this interview that could be worth a book. I was like, well, let me have a think. And then she got out on me the idea that I had inside me, which was to write a book to help people tune into their soul purpose, figure out what it is that they're born to do, and then teach them how to start up their first business using spiritual techniques and business practices.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And what I loved about your approach is when you bring in the element of these spiritual tools, spiritual practices, and that could mean so many things because in the end, it is all about tuning in, which obviously everything you've said up to this point is indicating the tuning in and the listening to self and then taking those senses, you know, steps further. So what did you discover in that sense, in the sense of some spiritual practices or tools?
How to discover them. So that was on my journey. So when I first got this whole idea for my business, I wasn't a spiritual person at all. I was quite anxious, on edge a lot, and nerves a lot. And it wasn't until I moved to London, and then when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend, that I got into the world of spirituality.
Yeah, that usually does that.
Usually does that, yeah. I was like, wow, this has happened unexpectedly. And I remember I was in a tough time with it, and a friend of mine said, oh, you should speak with a spiritual counselor. I was like, oh. And he introduced me to like the Doreen Virtue world of her angel books and her cards. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then I learned then how to co-create the universe manifestation. And that's actually when I got interested in cosmic ordering. And I found out what that was and how to co-create. So all these spiritual practices that I'd never heard of, I actually got introduced to. And it helped me figure out how to deal with the situation, get my head around it, and also focus on me and self-healing. And you learn stuff every day with it. You know, you're always tweaking it as you go along. Everything's a work in progress. But there's a big shift happened when I first started to co-create and then, you know, tuned in and then really trusted myself. It was a big thing. And it was amazing as well because I learned a lot. And then the big thing I learned was cosmic ordering. because I didn't know what that was until I met a spiritual counselor. And he mentioned to me that when he met his partner, that she wrote down this list of everything she wanted her partner to be. And he said, well, that list is all what I am. I was like, wow, that's incredible. And then I thought, well, I didn't think much of that until many years later. Then I met Ellen Watts, who actually is the book publisher. So her company publishes my book. And then she introduced me to cosmic ordering. And her book's great. And she talks about, you know, how you co-create by placing orders. It's like going into a restaurant, you know. You know what you want. I want to order fish with celery and I want some lemonade. You know, so you're very clear what you want, very specific. And you said that you do that with the universe. You say, what I really want is to get a parking space upon my arrival to Larchmont Village in LA for the good of all concerned. You have to say that word at the end, those words at the end, because you have to make sure that no one loses out for you to gain. So it's all harmonious. I should let it go, step back, and it'll happen. I was like, wow. And it did every time. So I tried the car parking order, then I tried more and more. Yeah, we've got to get it right and be specific when you do it, obviously. But she opened up this whole new world, and I do it in my business, as I mentioned in my book. I put it into my book that I really talk about how important it is to integrate cosmic ordering into your life and your business and et cetera, because it's very important that you do so, so that you can get what you want.
Yes, I always love that parking space deal. I mean, I've been doing it for a very long time, but it definitely works every time. Now, what I find funny, though, is the times when I'm maybe distracted with something else, and then I get close to where I'm going, and I say to myself, I go, gosh, I forgot to order a parking space.
Exactly. No, I definitely agree.
Yeah. And then even if, you know, even if it's still close, I'll go, okay, well, parking space, you know, I'll say whatever I need to say with parking space. And no sooner do I turn a corner that somebody's either just pulling out, you know, or something, or just happened to be there and nobody noticed it and you pull in. So it's, you know, it's the same. It translates to everything else in your life is basically what you're saying.
It does.
Now, it's hard for people to be clear what they want, because sometimes they don't know what they want for all the reasons that you've said before. Other people's suggestions and telling them probably what they should do. And it goes back to that owning what you're feeling. That, yeah, I think, is key.
It is. It's listening to that. It's the gut instinct, and it's ownership. It's absolutely crucial. And believing in it, trusting it. I mean, I think we've all got ways we need to keep trusting in ourselves more. And that always comes up with certain aspects or relationships or whatever. Then when you just think, I've got to do this more, what's blocking me? Then you can figure out what it is. You can ask the universe to help block it, or just figure out what it is that it needs unblocking. So it's a powerful thing. And I'm very grateful that we have this wonderful universe to look after us.
Right. Absolutely. It's a genie's lamp, I always say. Yes.
Exactly. It is. It really is.
But so, all right. So right now, for people who might be listening and they may have business ideas, they may be in business, they may just be sitting, thinking about what they're going to do. Just taking all of this and making it workable for anybody at all, because it doesn't matter. Even if you're not in business, we dream and we have goals, and that's the whole idea. And it's being able to be free to implementing that. What can you say about risk? You know, is there anything that you can add to that that takes that weird edge off risk? Because risk, for some people, when they hear the word risk, it spells up danger. You know what I mean? There's so much fear right now about all of this that it sort of kind of affects people's ability to be clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it does. It does. When people get distorted, I think that's just fear coming in, or the ego trying to shake things up, or the overwhelming you for no reason. And that happened a lot to me when I was younger, and it happens sometimes now, but then I just have a system in place that helps me do that, and like your toolbox. But fear can just stop us doing anything, even stuff that's really important. It can, you know, we're getting those nerves. It's just, you've got to do it. Like you just said in your intro, you know, if we just keep playing safe, how are we going to grow?
Yes, that's the key right there, what you just said, the growth part. Yes, you can't grow just doing the same thing over and over. It just doesn't work. And the physiological part, the way this impacts the biology, I think is what's so fascinating, because being creative and also taking chances, it has an incredible effect on our biology, on our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. It does. And it can cause that stomach upsets if we start to get more worried about nothing. But sometimes, end of the day, when we get worried about something, reality is very different to what we actually imagine it to be, because it's just perception. That's all it comes down to, how our perception makes us feel this way, or personal things, how we take things. The realities are different. But then when people say you can create your own reality, we do, when we start thinking those things, because it becomes our reality when it's not really real and not really happening, but in our minds it is. That's quite a powerful tool, and that's driven by fear. So by just saying, I'm not going to engage in this, I'm going to tell a new story, it's going to be something different, I'm not going to take on any nonsense, that's what we need to do.
Oh, I love that part. Yes, I'm going to tell a new story. That's it. Love it. That should be a takeaway right now. Anybody listening, it's like, what is the story that you've been telling yourself? What's the story you're telling yourself right now? You have the power to tell.
And we all tell those stories. I mean, we have this thing that everybody does. I mean, I'm part of a brand mentoring group, which I love. And there was some friction caused, and everybody got the wrong end of the stick and all this kind of stuff. But then eventually it was all ironed out, but it was people worrying about, you know, nothing that was really there. It was just their own perceptions that weren't reality projected on it.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things I like in your book is your ability to really own where you were lacking. You know, you tell some truthful stories about your own experience in launching or branching off into areas that were new to you in terms of film and distribution. And this is for anything. But the fact that you were able to go, you know what, man, am I deficient in this area? Whether it be in the people that you needed to know, the contacts that you needed to have. And it did kind of take you down for a minute in a couple of things, in realizing, you know, that you just weren't as proficient. And I think that is something that's really important that we also look at, not just lie to ourselves.
Yes, exactly. No, it is. It is. I really agree with that. Sometimes when people get distorted perception and confusion, it can be because of Mercury retrograde, but generally it can be just what they feel is the truth when they're not accepting it in the way that it actually is, because they're just, ego's blocking them, or the fear's blocking them. It's the fear what creates the distorted perception. And that is, again, the highest child different story, you know, like, I will not engage with this. Like, for example, I just presume that a client would not go ahead for some reason. It was because of this or something worrying about my expertise, but it wasn't. It was the opposite. And it's like, oh, reality is it's not what you think it is. And most of the time it isn't. Everyone always says that with anxiety. It's never as bad as you imagine. And it never is. It really isn't.
Yeah, we're our own prison guards.
Yes, exactly. It's like a tarot card that comes out, the prisoner card. Yeah.
It is. But yes, and you know, when she was telling this particular story, I was telling her that I could relate to that, in realizing that there were some things that I was lacking in terms of working on a project, not just one project, but that one film project in particular, which was very hard, because you're in so far, but you're realizing how deficient you are in certain areas of knowledge. And needing to take that chance and know that there's going to be a way, and either you're going to be introduced to somebody that's going to be able to help you with the rest of the information. But the bottom line of it is, it's taking a risk.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. It is. It is. It really is.
Wow. And there was another thing that you said a lot of things here, but I made a couple notes for things that I thought really stood out. Which you said, but I like the value of epic failure. You know, that's powerful. The value of epic failure, and where that information, where that can lead you, how you can use that to take you into a more expansive story and experience.
No, absolutely. So I remember that chapter in the book. It's one of the ones people quite like a lot. I remember when I was just trying to help my clients fix everything. I remember what I did was I kind of deviated from my sole purpose and I just started to go off piste. I was trying to solve problems that I didn't have expertise in. So what my expertise is helping people get their film seen in festivals around the world and getting them distribution and around the world at film festivals. What I wanted to do, and a problem which filmmakers had, and they have it still now, is they want to get their film sold to make money back on the film for their investors and themselves. And that's a whole new world. Like the sales agent world is a really complex whole new world. And it's very, you know, you need to have experience to do it right. And at the time I was like, yeah, I can do this for them. I can help them sell films. And I sold like one or two, but my God, it was a stressful, horrendous process. I didn't know what I was out of my depth. And I thought, oh my God, I'm doing the wrong thing here. And then I'm going to a meeting and the filmmakers were asking all these things about marketing plans, what I would do, how I would do this, how I would do that. And I had no answers for them. And it was just felt like a fraud. It was like imposter syndrome. I just hated it. It was horrible. I was like, oh my God. I remember just sitting down in the meeting, just really just failing there. And I remember going home, crying myself to sleep. And the next day, I was like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to go do this route. I'm going to just stick to what I know best. And that worked. Then it was like a few years later, I was all like worried about it at first, but then I just let it go and thought, well, we tried it, but it's failed. And then a few years later, I met a consultant. And what he does is help people find the right sales agent for their film, which is what I wanted to kind of do. I said to him, I said, oh, wow, we can help my clients and I can refer clients to you. Because I've got loads of clients that want to find a sales agent for their film and they need distribution. You work as a sales agent, you've got all the contacts. So you can help them. And since to this day, he's helped sell loads of films for our clients, got them distribution deals, the whole lot. And he's the right one. So when people say, can you sell the film? I go, not me. I'll give you, refer you to my colleague who can help you find the right sales agent and work with him on that directly. And that's how it works. And they solve the problem. So I cancel offer it, but someone else, I delegate and give it to somebody else is the key thing, delegation.
Yes, but I thought it was a great story because if we can step out of our own way, if we can make that acknowledgement that, okay, it's okay, that's not my expertise, but it's somebody else's expertise. And maybe it might not happen right then. And obviously you needed to just redirect to what you knew and were passionate about and learn from all of that. And then the right moment came where you met this person and were able to partner. That's a great takeaway.
Absolutely. And it was amazing just meeting him. I was like, you're a magician. I call him a magician in the book because he is a magician. Like he has all these problems. He can solve them all with the right expertise. And it's just amazing that I can help my clients and still to help them, but not take on all that stress. Like I just remember the feeling of like, you know, not being able to say that I don't know, answering in a meeting with a client. And it's like, well, why do you call yourself a sales agent? And it's like, well, exactly. So that was, that was a big learning curve. But then people around me were like, don't worry about it. You know, we all have some failure with businesses. And it's like, yeah, I'm trying everything, but it's not working. But, you know, it's a journey and a half. But now, you know, I know what to do and how to solve the problem with the clients. Also, delegation is crucial. I was doing it all myself and I had like John, my colleague, helping me and he was great. But obviously, you know, we had to do all the work and I had no team with me. It was all really overwhelming and tiny. It wasn't going anywhere and it was just too much. I mean, we did sell a few films, but it was very, very small money because they had very tiny films that were people we didn't know were big people, you know, Netflix at the time or iTunes. So it was quite a shock. But it just felt good when I can now say to my client, I can help you find an agent, but you just speak to my colleague and go from there with him because he's affiliate. And it's so nice because they're like, oh, great. We'll talk to the right person. Now I'm not going to do it by yourself.
Yeah, and it removes the pressure from you. And I have absolutely been there. The delegating part is a major part of this because entrepreneurs, a lot of times, you know, we tend to, we're so used to having to grow our business from the ground up that sometimes you sort of lose the perspective that, wait a second, I can't grow any further unless I have other people to delegate to. I had to learn, you know, that I'm still learning that, but it's definitely can be a hindrance, can be a limitation. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into some other areas of this. And the delegation piece obviously was a big, big piece. And there's some power that's tied up in that too. So maybe we'll address that a little bit. All right. people, stay tuned. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back shortly.
On the next Alternative Radio, hear David Corton on the future of humanity. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday afternoons at 2, right here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and online at kpfk.org.
It's one thing to love public radio, but it's a special thing to support it. Consider this. If you've got a car you don't need anymore, or you've got one that is simply too expensive to repair, arrange to donate it to KPFK. It's easy for you, pickup is free, and it could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Thanks in advance, and here is how to get started. Go to kpfk.org/cars or call 877-573-5288. That is 1-877-KPFK-AUTO. And learn more.
And we are back. We're coming to you from KPFK 90.7 FM in Southern California and streaming live at kpfk.org. You are listening to The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett, and that's me, your host, and my guest today, Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith. And we are definitely talking about taking risk, but not only taking risk, but if you have business ideas and or a business owner, or anything like that, your creativity, you're an artist, whatever it is, it's how to really take that into the lead and be all that you can be and be okay with testing the waters and taking chances on different things to grow your business, your idea, your dream, your so on. But I want to just go back real quickly to delegation. And the reason why I'm picking that for a quick second is this. One of the things that I had to notice also with myself is, you know, the need to control everything that I am doing. Okay, on one hand, that's great. But on another hand, it can really create some limitations there. So I think, you know, it allowed me to start looking at those things in me, you know, my need to control things. And is that limiting me by not being able to, you know, open up and allow those ideal people to show up in my space to assist with whatever I'm working on? Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, I remember one thing I always remember, I never forgotten this question that my business coach, Ed J.C. Smith, asked me when I first met him. I was all over the shop and had no system in place for my business. And I sat down and went, I'll do this, do that. And he said, well, how can you expect your business to grow when you're doing it all by yourself? And I just sat down and I was like, well, people only wanted to work with me. They don't want to work with my assistants. And he's like, well, they don't have to. You have to work with everyone in the same way. You can delegate and do behind the scenes. So since he said that, I was like, that limiting belief I had that I just had to be me. No one else would work with me, just me. So they can still work with me, but I haven't got to do every single piece of work that can be done by my staff. So since then, I now have staff. So I mentioned my book, my staff, but I've got Sheila, who helps me create strategies for our clients with their films. I've got Victoria, who's my top level manager, and she does lots of great stuff for all of our clients' films, and Domenico also does quite a few of the projects too. So I've extra help to delegate to and not take it all on myself. And I've also got Nicole, who helps me at events, and also she just find extra clients as well through getting the brand out there. And then I've got website manager and accountant, thank God. So, you know, so they've really helped all those things that that I just kind of have no idea how to do. And I have the vision in my head, and I've got brand specialists who I speak with as well. So I've got people that I can do things with and ideas, so it doesn't have to be doing things wrong. So it really does help us getting advice and getting people to delegate to, and also interns. They really help a lot. And it can, you know, still be a nice sized company and not have to have millions of people work for you, but people that know how to do the job and efficient and what's the word, efficient and competent is a key thing, and they have a passion for the business.
Right, absolutely. And if being effective and efficient makes a big difference when you are not trying to do it all yourself. That's what I learned. You just can't be as efficient, I think, when you're the one person doing everything. It's somewhere along the way, has been my experience, something falls short.
Yes, because you miss something. Mm-hmm. You miss something, and you can miss it easily when you take it on yourself, because it's just too much for one person to do. You have to have fresh pairs of eyes and to give you extra feedback and to give them more of their advice too.
Now, what about people who are thinking, well, I get it, because that's usually how you get caught in that situation is, you know, I don't have the money to pay for other people. And I think sometimes it doesn't really come down to the way we perceive it of how we're needing to pay someone. Mm-hmm. A lot of times there's other ways of, you know, of making this exchange, this working together.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. It is. It's very different. Also, what's important is having that community, just having ideas. Like I have this with the branding group I mentioned. We have a WhatsApp group and we all talk about, you know, things we're doing and wins and stuff and how people support you and ideas that you share. And it's really important to have that because you get more ideas for yourself, inspiration, and you see little minor things make a huge difference.
Right. And in the book, it says here that in the book, Rebecca takes you on a journey to grow your business niche, energetically brand your business, mm-hmm. create a solid business infrastructure, and craft a strong sales pitch. Also implement cosmic ordering, which she talked about, manifestation and feng shui techniques in your business for maximum success, which we've had a classic feng shui practitioner, or what are they? It's a little bit more than that. But yeah, mm-hmm. she is a classic feng shui master.
Yes.
The word I should use. Yeah. And so we've talked about these things, and I think it's really fascinating because so many big companies actually do use these techniques to establish their foundation and to grow it.
Yeah, no, they do. I mean, feng shui is essential to any business and any person's personal home. And when I met Marie Diamond, that's the woman that is a feng shui master. It was incredible because I thought I was doing all right with the business. I was there all chirpy and I gave her my business card and she was like, whoa, the energy is off with this logo and the color of yourself. And I was like, what? And then she said, for one thing, the woman on your logo, she's got her back towards your company's name. So she's like, you're turning your back on your client subconsciously. I was like, really? And she said also that there's no color in your logo. It's all black. It needs some kind of red or some kind of gold, you know, red carpet and gold. It's like abundance and awards and recognition. It's missing it all. You know, no one can see you. And also in your clothing, you know, you're wearing black. So it's not the best energy wise. I said, I swear if we change this, it'll work. I was like, oh, okay. So then I believe what she said, because when I saw her, she was all like, you know, she had these amazing colors on, like, you know, like she had teal clothing. She had, you know, this gold on her, silver everywhere. You know, she looked incredible. She stood out. Everyone drawn towards her. I was like, well, maybe it does work. So I had a consultancy with her. And then she told me how to change the logo, which we did. And then my designer changed it really quickly and it looked a lot better and it just stood out more on social media and on my website, the whole lot. And then I changed the way that I looked and I went from just black clothes. I got rid of all those black clothes from my closet. And instead it looked absolutely stunning, wearing pink and red that she advised and white and ivory. And I thought, I do feel better. I feel like I'm alive. And I felt in my mindset changed because the colors of the feng shui all changed around me. So I felt a lot better.
Wow. That is so true in terms of how we get stuck in. Because I remember going through, yes, in the phase, I, you know, just wear all black or whatever, or I'm in, you know, browns or whatever the case may be. You kind of are there. But what she pointed out, even with your logo, there's so many things that we do that it's so normal to us that we don't really notice that it's a reflection, because that's everything she said to you was indicating a reflection of your inner world, why yeah. you were dressing the way you were dressing, or why the logo looked the way it looked, or where the, why there was lack of color. So I think this is the deeper part of it is, wow, I'm seeing the truth of the platform, my belief platform on which I've been standing. That's what that said to me when you were sharing that.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. It really is. It's your true self. And your belief platform is crucial there, because it is what you stand for. And like when I go to festivals, all my Instagram is me with bright clothing and, you know, pinks and whatever. And people are like, wow, you do really stand out, but not just in your colors, but as you, your aura and your energy. And it's like, yes, it's true. And it's through the, what Marie calls her abundant colors of the universe, how to access her quantum colors. There's certain colors that you can wear and use that actually help you with the business and help you with yourself. And it's incredible. So, and I just didn't know that until I met her, and I'm glad I did, because my friend introduced me to her and she said, oh, I can see there's someone here who's got a lot of potential, but it's blocked by just being so low energy. And so I know that you're enthusiastic, but it's not right for the brand. You are the brand. And it's important that you make clear to that with your clothing, with your energy and your colors. This will make a big difference. And seeing her branding too, it's like, wow, this is really bright, beautiful, gold. And, you know, she does stand out. And it's not because of just what she knows, but her presence too with the colors just make her radiate.
Wow. And everything that she understands or believes about herself, who she is, what her capabilities are, yeah. Are shining through all of that. And so when you look at when you're doing maybe the opposite, like you said, the dull, the this, the that, not vibrant, you're getting, your business is giving you precisely what the truth is of what you really think about yourself.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. It is. It's a reflection. It's a bit of a reflection.
Wow. Yeah. Then, yes. And we look at these big corporations, because I always love to look at that. These companies, you know, that slap a logo on like cars. I'm always fascinated by those things, you know, mm-hmm. the Lexus or Mercedes or what's another one? Jaguar, but high-end, was it Tesla? All these cars with these symbols, these logos and clothing. I'm always fascinated that somebody thought themselves so important and what they had to offer that mm-hmm. with such confidence, these things are born. And then the public, we can't wait to have that because of what it symbolizes, you know.
Exactly. It's true. It's true. It's very much so, without a doubt. So I agree with you on that one. And it feels great when you tune into that and you can see it and you see it more clearly. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it changes everything. Now, let's talk about, and we have some time, we still have a few minutes left, but let's talk about what you provide. Say, you know, if somebody says, man, I really love listening to Rebecca, and they're going to go and get the book because they can get it on what platforms, I should say, probably on all platforms, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. All platforms. Yeah. Amazon.com.co.uk and Kindle. And it'll be in bookshops very soon, but we're having just to work around the pandemic when everything opens to really get it at the right time.
Right. And your website?
Website is RebeccaLouisaSmith.com. You can find out more about me in the book. And also Instagram is @RebeccaFilmDR.
Okay. Now, do you work one-on-one with people? Is it just for film? Because, you know, people are listening and maybe somebody says, I would love to, you know, to connect further. What services do you actually offer to your clients?
So those who want to get their films in festivals, then absolutely, we can do that for you, no problem. For those who want to work more one-on-one with me and really, you know, figure out what their sole purpose is and to talk through the book and to figure out, you know, how to get to grips with what they should be doing and how they implement that into their business and their lives, I do offer now one-to-one coaching. So we have half an hour sessions, 1 hour sessions, and we do them all via Skype remotely, and it works really well.
All right. That sounds good. Yeah, especially right now, you know, right now,
yeah.
We try to figure
now
out.
Now is the perfect time. Yeah, without a doubt.
It's perfect. Because this moment will pass. You know, what's going on right now, it will change. And the thing is, I'm always saying, what's on the other side of that for you? You know, you have an opportunity to right now just begin planning stages, initiate, instead of spending time wondering, you know, what am I going to do, or when is this going to end? Maybe take that opportunity now to look at what some of those things are that you want to do. And like you've been saying, soul purpose, you know, and I do have a thing about soul purpose, because I do think sometimes people just lock themselves in, and sometimes that soul purpose, or what feels like that soul purpose, evolves into other things. So so it's not limiting that, but finding out what brings me joy right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the key thing. It is a very big thing. It's joy in every aspect, that you just feel that you're really are meant to be doing this for the rest of your life. And you'll know it soon. It comes soon enough. Give it a few weeks sometimes if you're just quite not sure, but let it sink in. Just think about what it is that you wake up drawn to, and what you could do for hours and not worry about how time passes, but something that you're committed to and you want to do this for a long time.
Yeah. And if your heart's not in it, because that was one of the things you said, is realizing what your heart's not in it.
Exactly. Exactly. I know that soon enough, that will be very clear to you. But yeah, you'll know it more than sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And we talk about the heart so much, you know, because so much is run through the heart, and you feel what you feel also in the body, in your belly. As you said, you get knots in your stomach when things don't feel right for you, and the stress that gets caused when somebody's, your heart is not in it, you know, all of these stress factors, I think, is what we're talking about today. How do we eliminate that? How do we surrender to what ourselves, our deeper self, is trying to tell us and show us? That's key.
That's key. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Well, you definitely have shared, I think, so much. We still have some time left, but I just wanted to say that, because sometimes people think, well, I'm not doing a business. I'm not, you know, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not, you know, but the whole thing here is to see how the formula, one formula, is being used throughout your whole life without even realizing it.
No, absolutely. And that's the worst thing to do, is when you just in that routine and you're just feeling trapped, and suddenly you don't know you are trapped until you realize what you should be doing. And you just think, wow, I'm alive, and my skin looks clearer and I'm glowing. That's a big telltale sign.
Yeah. Isn't that something? You said that, it's like my skin is glowing. I mean, it's like your whole body. And I think we have to keep remembering that, how the entire body responds to how we feel.
Exactly. It's a body that tells you a lot. It's got a lot of messages in the body. If you listen to your body and how you feel, then that's where you're going to be able to really get the answers. That's where it lies.
It's like happy or sad, your body is going to tell you. And you can bring your own self down. As we said, you can be your own warden. You could be the one that's, you know, holding yourself in a prison. And I know right now with the pandemic, I get it. With the frustration, you know, for me, my frustration is on a whole different level with this. I'm not in fear. I'm just more frustrated because of what I like to do. And it's in a way, there's interruption. So what I have to do is I find ways that will allow me to continue to support that feeling in me, that normal in me, to support, you know, to support that part of me, so that I'm not sucked in mentally to feeling disempowered. That's the word, to feeling disempowered.
Exactly. It's all about empowering and trusting your gut.
Yeah, that gut comes up all the time.
Oh, yes.
That gut comes up all the time. Now, is there anything else that you would like to share? We have 3 minutes or so left, but anything else you'd like to throw in that maybe we didn't cover, you know, just for more encouragement?
I'd love all the listeners to buy a copy of the book and to share with me their story, and tag me on Instagram or email me and tell me your response to the book, and how it helped you. And if anything else doesn't help you, then I will give you advice for free. So please share all your thoughts with me, and I would love for you to share your stories, and I'll put them on Instagram and I'll give you feedback. I'd just love to hear from you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you in the book, you do have sections for notes, which is, yeah, which is really, really good, because as you read certain chapters, you're able to jot down some things or ask yourself some questions. And yep. even with what Rebecca said a little bit ago, when she talked about the clothing and the, you know, what you're wearing and the colors, what she was experiencing, it for a moment there did make me step back and examine for a quick moment myself, because I've had those moments where I'm caught in a particular color. Yeah. So it's like just listening and thinking to yourself, what am I doing? We painted, we changed our house to different, you know, different colors. The rooms have these different colors and everybody comes in, loves it. But it's all of those interesting things that you do during this lockdown, you know, what feels ideal, what feels right, what feels experimental and fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need, is what feels, what your heart tells you.
Wow. All right. So one more time, your website?
RebeccaLouisaSmith.com.
RebeccaLouisaSmith.com. And this information is going to be available on her profile page on the expansionzone.com website. So you'll be able to go and find that information there in the event that you wrote down the name incorrectly or just didn't get to write it down at all. You'll be able to click on that link and then go check out her her website and her work. I do encourage everybody to get this book. It is really an excellent book and it's an easy read. And she's got these great stories in there. I think a lot of people might be able to relate to, and you're going to feel inspired from reading some of those stories. So thank you so much, Dr. Rebecca Smith, for being here.
That. Thank you so much. You were brilliant. You've been a great host, and I really appreciate the time of having me on.
Oh, thank you. And to our listening audience, thank you so much for always tuning in. Thank you for listening to today's show. Thank you to our engineer, D'Angelo Jones. And please do visit theexpansionzone.com for the archive and for just everything, for a list of all the upcoming guests and so on. And subscribe to our newsletter on the website. Please subscribe, and to our YouTube channel as well. To find out more about me, do visit TheRealSoniaBarrett.com, and you'll know about the free monthly Reality Wednesday teleconference that happens the first Wednesday of every month. Would love to have you there. If you've never participated, do check that out. As always, I do like to remind you to live life to its fullest and question everything. Until next time, see you then.
The Bradcast. Experts have said that the case has little chance of success at the Supreme Court, much like the numerous other GOP election lawsuits that are pending in battleground states. But then again, those experts, they are just guessing. They are hoping.
With your host, Brad Friedman, and producer, Desi Doyen.
There's enough going on right now. There are enough X factors still remaining that that's one I'd rather not contemplate.